Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
To another Friday night's edition of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And listen, y'all, this is live radio stuff happens. Listen, of all days, Mr. Lindsey Williams and Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez, who are supposed to be my guests tonight and who were supposed to be discussing with us alternative medicine secrets used by the elite, are not on my phone lines tonight. And they are in Tijuana, Mexico, and I have reached out to them via text. This show has been booked for weeks, but we're going to see if we can find out what happened. But Lindsey Williams is the one that actually booked this show and had me to book it. So I know something must have gone terribly wrong for him and Dr. Rodriguez not to be on the phone lines, but we are still trying to make contact with them, and hopefully they will be on by the end of the show. But Christopher, AJ, it's live radio. Stuff happens, right?
Yes, it does. Good evening.
It does.
Good evening, AJ.
Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, I think it's apropos. You know, it's like the weather.
This is true. And this may be them. Let me check this phone line. Good evening. Welcome to the stage. 619-661.
Yes, good evening, Carrie. This is Lindsay Williams.
Well, Mr. Williams, you just about gave me a heart attack. Listen, Lindsay Williams is never late. And I know if Lindsay Williams didn't show up, it's something very, very wrong. I'm glad you're here.
These Mexican telephone lines are a little bit different. So I'm going to conference Dr. Rodriguez in, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay, great. Okay, y'all, I will start over now that Mr. Williams has stopped me from having this heart attack live on air. Good evening, everyone, again. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for another Friday night's edition of Center Stage. Tonight, we're going to be talking to Mr. Lindsay Williams and Dr. Rodriguez of BioCare Hospital in Tijuana, Mexico. We're going to be talking about alternative medicine secrets used by the elite. Tonight, we're going to find out why no president has ever died from cancer. We're also going to be talking about how the elites turn to alternative medicine to treat medical conditions like heart disease, diabetes, chronic fatigue syndrome, multiple sclerosis, hepatitis C, hormonal imbalances, vascular disease, and immunological imbalances. So tonight, if you have a medical condition that traditional medicine has not been able to cure, get on the phone lines. Dr. Rodriguez will be taking phone calls. He'll speak with you about whatever your situation is, and it doesn't have to be one that I mentioned earlier, just whatever your medical condition is that you haven't been able to find answers to. Get on the phone lines tonight. But before we begin, we want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. With that out of the way, listen, y'all, I just about had a heart attack because I've been looking forward to this show for 2 weeks, and I was thinking, listen, I got a host of questions about what to do for this or that, and I was looking forward to speaking with both Mr. Williams and Dr. Rodriguez, and I was like, listen, sweat bubbles were coming out, and I was thinking, what are we going to talk about tonight? I know it's Black History Month, but I didn't have anything prepared, so I was just about on panic. But AJ in Houston, but God, huh?
Always.
Christopher Bonds, but God?
But God.
But God. You know what? You guys have never, I don't think you guys have ever been on with Lindsay Williams and Dr. Rodriguez. They're both phenomenal people. Dr. Rodriguez is a wealth of knowledge in, you know, in the medical field, and he runs BioCare Hospital down there in Tijuana, and they do a lot of treatments that we can't get over here. And we're going to be talking with him about it as soon as they get back on the phone lines and find out what we can do about conditions that we have that we haven't been able to find answers to. Now, Christopher Bonds, you're in the medical field. So technically every day you go from a traditional medicine standpoint as far as treating ailments, correct?
Yes, correct. But a little bit of just background. What I also did is that I went and worked with alternative healthcare providers, i.e., chiropractors, homeopath physicians as well. So I kind of saw that the traditional medical model is not going to fit everybody. It's not always one size fits all. So the alternative medicine, alternative treatments, in a lot of cases, can be very beneficial to people.
Well, Carrie, we're back with you, so anytime we're ready.
Oh, great. Well, good evening, Mr. Williams. Good evening, Dr. Rodriguez. How are you all?
Very well. Thank you very much, and thank you for having us.
Well, Carrie, it's a great be with you. I guess I shouldn't be so punctual all the time when you were 3 minutes late.
Listen, I'm telling you, big sweat bubbles are coming. I thought, what am I going to do? Because I wasn't prepared for anything but this show tonight. So I'm excited that you guys.
Yeah, that's all we're prepared for, too. We are here appreciative that you would allow us to be on the show. And, by the way, I'll say greetings from Tijuana, Mexico. I am actually in Mexico tonight with Dr. Rodriguez at the International BioCare Hospital and Health Center. And, Carrie, I have seen some of the most miraculous and amazing things. I've been here 3 weeks. My wife and I leave on Sunday. And the 3 weeks that we have been here have just literally been an education, not only being with Dr. Rodriguez, of course, an education within itself, but the things that we've seen in the way of patients who are so much better. So you tell me what you'd like us to do and how far you want me to go with some testimonials, and then Dr. Rodriguez has so much to talk about.
Well, tell us some of the testimonials, first of all.
Well, first of all, one that's so fabulous to me is there were some twins. They're ladies, 51 years of age, and they came here together. One is perfectly well. When the other one arrived at the hospital, she was rolled in a wheelchair, has brain tumors. They'd given her up in the United States of America, and she came here to try to find help. And I was amazed. 1 week later, she was up walking down the hallway in the hospital. People don't have to die from cancer. It can be put in remission. There's another one here that is utterly amazing to me. Her name is Sarah. She, for 6 years' time, had suffered horribly, and it had cost she and her husband a fortune. She was diagnosed in America as having Lyme disease. And they have spent everything trying to get her well, and she keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And she and her husband have spent so much that they actually sold the house last year, took the equity out of it, and had to pay their doctor's bills. Doctors in America have literally robbed them blind. Now, I've known this family for a long time, but one day when I was over at her husband's business, she happened to mention to me how sick she was, and I told her, I said, there's hope for you in Mexico. So as a result, my wife and I came down here and Sarah together, and when she got here, she was placed in the hands of Dr. Romero, one of the doctors on staff, and when they did the test, a bank of tests, every kind of thing imaginable, they came back and said, you don't even have Lyme disease. Now, Carrie, they had been treating her in America to the tune of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, to the point that the family is almost broke. And they were treating her for Lyme disease, and when they made the test here, they said, you don't have Lyme disease, you have Epstein-Barr, which is a precursor to chronic fatigue. Utterly amazing. And in 2 weeks' time, she said to me yesterday, she said, I'm 50% better. Well, give her a little longer, and she'll be doing much better. You know, there's another one. There's a young lady here who likewise had Epstein-Barr. She knew she had it when she came here. It wasn't a big misdiagnosis. It was correct. But she was to the point that she had lost her memory almost, literally. And she, by the way, just a young lady, too, in her late 20s or early 30s, and she gave us a testimony. And she one day she said she'd been here for about a week, week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And she said one day, she said, you know, I think I'll go down to Walmart. There's one about two blocks down the street from the hospital here. She said, I think I'll go down to Walmart and pick up some things. Now, she has lost her memory to the point that she said she would find sometimes catch herself running through a red light, not even knowing it, when she was driving. She was afraid to drive anymore. She had trouble making change because she couldn't think. When she came back from Walmart after being here for that period of time, she was so excited. She literally was walking up and down the hallway in the hospital beside herself. She said, I can make change. I can think again. She said, I went to Walmart, and she said, I actually could count the money out to the people and not have any trouble. People don't have to suffer from these sort of things. My wife, She's had rheumatoid arthritis for years, and using stem cell implant, they have done wonders for her here at BioCare Hospital. And it's just, it's so wonderful to see people not have to suffer, but they can have cancer in remission. You don't have to live with diabetes forever. Lyme disease, you can live a normal life again, as well as chronic fatigue syndrome, for which I'm a perfect example myself because I was diagnosed with it about a year ago when I came here and am living much, much better today. Rheumatoid arthritis, my wife is a testimony to the fact that you don't have to suffer with that pain all the time. So, Carrie, I don't know what to say except that what can't be done in the United States of America can be done outside this country. And there's so many things that the medical system in America will not even allow that can be done here. I'd like to have Dr. Rodriguez talk some about the stem cell implants that they're doing here, how they do it. It is so fascinating to watch what they do at BioCare Hospital. So if you don't mind, since Dr. Rodriguez is such an amazing person and marvelous in his ability, Carrie, I'd just like to turn the time over to him and let him tell you what they actually do here.
Absolutely. Good evening, Dr. Rodriguez, again. Good evening.
Good evening. Very good. Very good. Well, you know, we've been talking about alternative medicine and all these things. And many people might be wondering, well, what exactly do you mean by that? And let me tell you something which is very important, because it's not that you have some form of therapy that's completely hidden or anything like that. It's just doing medicine as it should be done. There are many options. Whenever you develop a disease, also you have many options when you have your health. There are many options that can go wrong, and you end up with a disease. And actually, that's the type of problem that we see nowadays more than any other type of disease, because thank God a lot of the previous infections and health issues that we used to deal with are part of our history. We don't hear about people dying of tuberculosis or pneumonia or anything like that. We can find people in the movies that have pneumonia, and they say, well, the doctor gave me an antibiotic and gave me a pill, and I'm doing fine, etc. And people go with their flus to the disco or to a dinner or anything like that. We definitely don't do what we could be doing for our own bodies. We take ourselves for granted, and so we think that we can really have our cake and eat it too, have just fun, and the doctor will always give us a pill to solve the problem, which is absolutely not true. So what we have in this world of alternative medicine is you have an absolute respect for what the biological resources that you were given, the immunological, the hormonal, the all these sorts of resources that God gave us. Have to be respected and have to be taken care of, because that's the basis of health. That's the basis of wellness. If you don't take care of this, then nothing is going to work. And so the bottom line or the foundation of everything we do in this hospital would be how you are going to treat this body. And the first thing your body needs is rest, is respect, is hydration, is good food, is good energy, et cetera, et cetera. So for us, diet, supplementation, cleansing, detoxification are the ABC, the definite bottom line of everything we do. But probably 20 years ago, we started working with live cell therapy. And we started working live cell therapy in this hospital when there was a very famous case at that time, Steve McQueen, and he had a group of German physicians come down to do live cell therapy, which is part of the therapies that he received. And one of these physicians stayed for the rest of his life with us, and he was a German physician, and we were working for many years. And I could see many little miracles, or sometimes bigger miracles happening, because it was known that when you transfer some information to the cells of your body, your cells kind of recuperate or recover what they should be doing. So energy goes up and a lot of things start happening. And even in some illnesses that have some obscure origin or genetic origin, you can start correcting them. And we were working with them and trying to do the best out of them when the research on stem cell came around. And the research on stem cell, let me tell you something which is very important. I don't think that the idea of the actual embryonic or primary stem cell was that important. Okay, that is an absolute miracle. How out of one cell you end up having a whole new individual with the liver, with the brain, with bones, etc. But the most important part is when we discover that those cells do not disappear when you are born. They continue to be produced in our bodies, and actually they are produced in our bodies throughout our lives. Why? Because they're the reason for healing. I mean, if you understand really what the word healing is, that's stem cells. If you have a damaged tissue, if you have a damaged cell, there is going to be a point where that's beyond repair. You cannot do anything about it. And stem cells come to the rescue. Stem cells go to that organ and create new functional cells that are going to be efficient, that are going to be very good performance cells, that are going to do the job that wasn't being done anymore. But to do that, you have to provide the fuel, the energy, the good supplies to the body, which is why it's important to try to keep ourselves eating healthy and being healthy in general, because then we allow these cells to really proceed and do what they have to do. But on the other hand, we discovered that these cells being produced in the body, in the bone marrow, can be stored in the fat tissue, but they're always in circulation. There's always going around in the blood. So it was as simple as taking blood out of your system and then concentrate, look for these cells, concentrate them. There's where the little technology comes in, the technological help of our modern days, and we can take them, identify them, concentrate them, and once you have this concentration of cells, then you nourish them, you excite them so they become very, very active, and then you put them back in the blood. When you put them back in the blood, they're going to do precisely what they're programmed to do. They're going to go to areas of conflict, to areas of damage, and they're going to repair the tissues wherever they find a problem. And they do that many times in places we don't even know about, because we have given stem cells to people because they have this or that problem, and then the next thing you know is that they come back to you and say, you know what, I had this other problem that I didn't pay too much attention to, but it's gone. After these stem cells were given, somehow these cells knew where to go and what to put together, what to restore. It's really, truly amazing what stem cells are doing in our days, and the advantage that we can take of them, and the amount of healing and well-being that they can deliver.
So of all the diseases or disorders that you or we mentioned earlier, as far as heart disease, diabetes, chronic fatigue, multiple sclerosis, hepatitis C, hormonal imbalances, vascular disease, and the immunological imbalances, all of those are treated by stem cells?
They are treated according to what the problem is, okay? Number one, if you think again of all the diseases that you mentioned, all of them were produced within our body because we have done certain things wrong. When immunity goes down, and immunity can go down for many, many reasons, I'm going to give you the simplest of them. And everyone that has had a stressful period of life in their lives know about it. A real intense, stressful period in your life can bring down your defenses so low that that in itself can be the cause of a degenerative disease, including cancer. I see cancer patients all the time, and I always tell the spouse or the children, we're going to start planning something for you, because I know that the stress, the pain that goes when you're taking care of a loved one with any of these diseases can bring you down so low that that in itself can bring your immunity or all your systems down, and then you fall prey to a different disease. Now, if that person on top of that has a poor diet and smokes or doesn't have enough rest or has been subjected to medication, it is so common that we just give medication to people. I mean, we just give it so freely and happily. I mean, children being born today really do not stand a chance to get to their first birthday without an antibiotic, because we use antibiotics for everything. And any child that has a little sniff or a little diarrhea or a little something, which are normal growing pains, but very normal. I mean, anybody that has a grandmother on their side and ask her, and she's going to tell you, yeah, that's how children grow up. They grew up with a little bit of a sneeze or a little diarrhea every now and then, and that's not a cause to give a drug. It's just the baby's body learning to deal with its environment. And it's going to go for a day or two, and yes, we watch them, and yes, we keep them hydrated, and yes, we keep them indoors, and yes, we're careful about them, but that's what parents don't want to do anymore. They say, but I had to go to Vegas, and I just couldn't leave the baby in for a couple of days in the room with good hydration, good food, etc., because we had this trip planned or just running errands. You see, I go to so many places, and Vegas is a good example. You go to many places where you say, what is a 3-month-old baby doing in a casino? But you see that, you see? So we have become the same thing we're doing to our bodies, we're doing to our children. And then these children start with these antibiotics, and they start getting a faulty immune system, and then they start with other things, so antibiotics continue, and then they develop acne or allergies or asthma or any of these things, and they're going to go from drug to drug to drug, and that's how they grow up. So no wonder that when they're in their late 20s or 30s, they develop chronic fatigue syndrome. The immune system is so depleted that they start getting microbial activity of things that just live around us normally, and nothing happens because our immune system should keep all these things off our body. But with these people, it doesn't happen because they already have a very poor environment, immunological environment, and all these microbes take advantage of that and just come and enjoy our bodies, and then we develop Epstein-Barr, we develop herpes, we develop candida, we develop mycoplasma, we develop all these diseases, and they make us feel miserable, and we develop all sorts of symptoms, pains, aches, mental fogginess. We feel tired all day. We cannot go to sleep. Many people even have suicidal thoughts. It's really alarming, because you see people that should be in the prime of their life that stay in bed all day long because they can hardly move because they don't have the energy to do it. So,
well, let me ask you this. If I'm understanding you correctly, first of all, we have a responsibility to our health that we get enough rest, that we try to keep the stress levels low, that we have a proper diet, and that we stay hydrated. So if we do those things, we are 50% there. Am I understanding you correctly?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I mean, I always play with this idea. If I were to ask America to stop smoking and to eat right, I'm sure that our health medical bill will drop by half in a few years because we wouldn't see what we see. If you look around, we have heart and vascular disease, which is the number one killer in America. So we're not talking about anecdotal information. We're talking of number one killer. More people die because of heart and vascular disease than anything else.
And how important is exercise? Exercise plays an important role.
Yes, of course, exercise plays a role. But it's your whole lifestyle that plays a very important role. If and this is also a very alarming thing, younger people are smoking now more than they were smoking before. Grown-up adults are smoking less, probably because of the efforts that have been done in this direction. But from my personal perspective, cigarette smoking should absolutely be out of our lives by now, with everything we know, with all the evidence we have. I don't think there is not one reason to keep allowing cigarette smoking in anywhere else, just not just America, anywhere else. This is not a way to live. This is a way to die. And then
okay, so no smoking. Is drinking out, or can you drink in moderation?
I think you can drink in moderation. Particularly, and I always tell people, if you're going to drink fermented drinks, just like wine or beer. Okay, try to avoid, unless it's your birthday, your 4th of July. Okay, have a vodka, but in general, if you're going to drink in moderation and use beer, use wine. But other than that, no. I don't have so much problem with that as I have with cigarette smoking. I absolutely hate it. And the other part that I absolutely tell people about, and this is also true for all these people, is food. If you go to any restaurant and you take the children's menu, it's all the fried, heavy sugar, heavy white flour, heavy salt, food that contains tons of calories and fats and no nutritional value. And you put the two together, that food with that cigarette, lack of exercise, because now we drive everywhere. And when we drive, we look for the place that's closest to the entrance and so on. The lack of sunlight exposure that has depleted our bodies from vitamin D.
How much sunlight do we need a day?
Yeah, right. But you have a whole summer to take advantage of, but people don't do it because, again, we really are living an indoor life. We got up in the morning, get on the car, go to the office, spend the day in the office. By the time we leave the office, we don't have sunlight. Then we go to an indoor place to have dinner. Then we go to the movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time you put together the hours you had direct sunlight exposure, they're very, very short times, and it's not enough. And numbers are there to prove it. Vitamin
Do we need like 20 or 30 minutes a day of sunlight, or how much time do we need in the sun a day?
20 to 30 minutes of sunlight would be enough if you really do it on direct sunlight. But and if you also bring some geographical considerations, in other words, people that live, and these are facts, this is not just an idea. If you live above parallel 42, which is around a little bit under, lower to Chicago, for example, and you live north of that, so you're talking of Washington State and Minnesota and, you know, all North Dakotas, or the Dakotas and Illinois, et cetera. All these states, not to mention Canada, they really have a problem because people have a very long winter with very short sunlight exposure. So supplementation is here to help. But we have to, first of all, learn that we need to supplement, and we have to learn to go to the doctor and say, doctor, what is my vitamin D level? Because it can be tested. All you need is when you have any sort of blood work, you can ask your doctor to check for your vitamin D. And you're going to be surprised. Ever since vitamin D became available, let me tell you that I would say that 90% of the people that I have tested are below normal levels. So it's very important because it also works. Vitamin D is a very important substance. It's not, some researchers even don't think it is really a vitamin, but it's a hormone that has a lot of activity on the immune system. Lack of vitamin D has been shown to have a very important effect of why we see more allergies today than we saw, let's say, 50 years ago. We're seeing a lot of asthmatic children. It actually, in numbers, has doubled in the last 20 years. So we have...
Well, what dosage of vitamin D are we talking? Are we talking about 1,000 milligrams a day, or what are we talking?
There are actually two ways to do it. I mean, if you're just generally supplementing, yes, you could take like 1 to 2,000 units a day. And some researchers propose you can do it only once a week. So you could do 10,000 units once a week, and that will be equally efficient. But the important thing is be tested and do it. Minerals are a big deficiency. So when we see patients here at the hospital, and we start testing for all these things, then we see how depleted, how bad they are in terms of very essential nutrients. And then you wonder why this person is responding so poorly to the disease. The disease is a problem, and on top of that, that disease is being hosted by an individual that doesn't have any biological resources to fight it off. So many times we start by working on that area, by detoxification, by using intravenous nourishment, intravenous supplementation, by cleansing the body and making the body able to respond to the disease. And let me tell you, it's like when you put fertilizer in your lawn. You can see people that in few days start gaining energy, start feeling better, start moving around, become more mentally alert, and they get all these benefits, and they wonder, okay, what is happening? What's happening is you're paying attention to a body that has been neglected by will or by ignorance or by our normal, what we call now normal lifestyle or whatever, but the fact is that these people are in very poor biological conditions. And then
how often should we do a cleanse?
How much, actually?
How often should we do a cleanse?
To be absolutely sincere, I think you have to do it every day. You know, it's like I've seen those ads in the street that says, okay, you don't have to clean the city, just keep it clean. And let me tell you something, for example. This is a very interesting research. Rats, I mean the common rat that we see in sewage and so forth, they have very powerful antioxidant systems. And they live very short lives. Doves have a very poor antioxidant system, but they live for many years. Why? Because doves have a very clean lifestyle. They eat grains, they eat grass, they eat very few things, and they're not exposed to toxins or anything like that. So what I tell people is you have to be making healthy choices every day, every time. Every time you're about to sit to a restaurant, every time you go to a movie theater, make sure you ask for something that's going to nourish your body. It's something that is going to be good for your body. Avoid those things that you know you have to pay a price for, and many times the price is too high. So if you do it regularly, you're going to be in much better shape.
When you said regular, did you say daily?
Yeah, I definitely. I think it's a matter of sitting we all know. I know because I talk to patients all the time. We all, deep in our hearts, know what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So it's a matter of sitting with ourselves very honestly and say, look, this is what you're doing wrong. Skip it. Get it out of your life. And this is what you know you should be doing. Let's do it in a much better way. Look at your
balance. Let me ask you this. If you do a cleanse every day, won't you throw off your pH balance
I'm not talking about doing a cleanse every day. What I'm talking is try to keep as clean lifestyle as possible. And if you're going to do a cleanse, then you could do that depending on how you feel and how you do, let's say, once every month or once every 2 months. And many people, when they do a cleanse, they learn when to do it. They can feel when they need it. So if you get the experience of doing it and you notice how well you feel, then sometimes several weeks after that, you might yourself be saying, I think I need to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a cleanse, do you need to put or take acidophilus to replenish the good bacteria in your system?
Actually, when you do a cleanse, you actually improve the probiotics, the acidophilus, and everything. Every time you do a cleanse, even if you were to do enemas, etc., you are going to replenish everything because whatever is left is going to reproduce in a much better way. But to answer short, I would say yes, still, because that's another good way to help your body. Very few people know, but the most important immune organ in your body is your intestinal tract. So if you're going to keep your intestines clean and functional and free of garbage and fast food and all these things, we all can feel it. I mean, if you go to a pizza place, you can feel that you did something wrong. You can feel it. You're going to have discomfort. But if you have good food, you're going to feel better. When you do the cleanse, you're going to feel $1 million. And then you continue with your acidophilus. Again, acidophilus is one of the things that we could be taking almost continuously, and we're going to get nothing but good out of it.
Yeah. Hey.
When you say a cleanse, what kind of cleanse are you talking about? Because there's several over-the-counter, and I've tried one recently. It was at least, I guess, a year ago. And what it said is it would clean the liver, the kidneys, and the colon. And I took it, and honestly, almost immediately, within like 20 minutes, I felt like a pulling on my heart. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's not connected. And I tried it a second dosage, and I felt exactly the same reaction. So are some of the cleanses too harsh? Maybe you shouldn't clean the liver, the kidney, and the colon all at the same time?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And the problem with that, with some of those products is they have some things to produce a little bit like a purge, and that's going to give you that type of a feeling. And if there's a little bit too much, or some people are too sensitive to them, then you're going to have more problems. We're very gentle. We normally use more than anything else. We use plain enemas. Enema was part of medicine up to 1950. Everybody was doing it, and medical schools talk about enemas for cleansing, and we were talking about that. I started medical school in the early 60s, and I remember ordering enemas for patients all the time. Right now, if I go to a regular hospital and I say, give an enema, they're going to say, are you going to do an X-ray? And I said, no, just for a cleanse. They're going to look at me as if I'm nuts or whatever.
Yeah.
They're not going to look at me. That's one of the reasons why we started BioCare Hospital, because we immediately saw that trying to get that type of treatment or that type of management of a patient was not possible in a regular hospital, let alone the fact that if you go to a regular hospital, I mean, you're going to get the worst type of food that you can get. So the two together didn't help our patients at all. We needed a place where we could do the enemas, where we could do fasting. Fasting is another good way to do a lot of things. And I could talk about it also for a long time, of everything you can do with fasting and how well you're going to feel doing these things. And if you do a little bit of fasting with a little bit of an enema for on a weekend, you're going to feel that by Monday you feel much better, because you're going to pull down the chronic inflammation. That's part of most people nowadays. Chronic inflammation is actually the culprit of a lot of the diseases that we're talking about. Heart disease, vascular disease, cancer, diabetes, all of them begin as a chronic inflammatory response. So when we can pull that down, we're going to feel a lot better. And fasting for 24 hours on just fresh fruits, for example, it's going to make a big difference. You're going to feel much better the following day. You're going to lose a couple of pounds of body weight, because you're going to get rid of extra water and extra salt. Salt is another of our big enemies, which is unfortunately everywhere. There's almost no way you can live your life without getting salt from somewhere, including candies. Even candies and sweets and those things, if you read the label or if you read all the fine print, you're going to see they have sodium something. Why? Because sodium makes a very good preservative. So they use it for a lot of foods, and it's very hard to be able to get out of it. So, but all those things are the things that I'm talking about we have to do every day to make sure that we keep clean, that we keep in good shape.
Well, Dr. Rodriguez, one of the co-hosts tonight, A.J. Houston, suffers from chronic back pain. Is that due to inflammation?
Well, all pains, really, most of the pain comes from inflammation. Yes, definitely, I would say yes. And, of course, you have to rule out any sort of anatomical damage, any sort of trauma or any of those things. But many times it's trauma that we don't see. Like, for example, people with weight problems are going to damage some of the joints and these things. And they say, well, I didn't have any, never hurt or anything like that, but all of a sudden you develop the pain. So it all depends. But, yes, if inflammation goes down, then...
Well, AJ, can you describe your back?
Well, he described a lot of stuff that's already there.
It's what?
And you know what? One good way to also reduce inflammation is by a lot of enzymes. And enzymes are in fresh fruit. So I many times tell people, get yourself ready, like tomorrow is a Saturday. It's a great day to do this. You don't go to work. You don't do anything. Stay in your pajamas and get a bowl of fresh fruit, and a big bowl of fresh fruit. And all you do during the whole day is you eat fresh fruit and tea. You just take herbal teas. And you do that from the beginning to the end of the day, stay in your pajamas, relax, read, watch TV, take a nap, be careful with your body, and be a lot of tender, loving care to yourself. And just do that. And then on Sunday, make an easy day on your system. Don't go too far. Eat some fish, preferably steamed type of foods, things that are very light. And then on Monday, you're going to feel completely different. And if you could do an enema on that weekend, that's going to be phenomenal. You're going to notice the difference.
Christopher Bonds, you're in the medical field.
Yes.
Any questions for Dr. Rodriguez?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Rodriguez and Mr. Williams. This is very, very interesting, and I wanted to add a few things that in terms of what you were saying. I know there was the discussion going on talking about colon cleansers.
Correct.
And part of what I promote in my own household as well as in the clinic is a lot of people used to juice, and some people still do juice fruits and vegetables. I also try to recommend that individuals blend, because a lot of times when you juice like the carrots and bananas and so forth, it takes the pulp out, And now a natural colon cleanse that I think people, maybe to what you're speaking to, that people can do every day is green leafy vegetables, carrots, bananas, oranges, apples, and I just put it into the blender, a little juice and some ice, and that will also be a natural type of colon cleanse. I think sometimes when people want to do the full-blown colon cleanser, a lot of people do that, but then they don't modify their diet. So they're still eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of junk, and they're not realizing that they're not really changing their overall diet and their behavior.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. The big advantage of blending is also you're going to have all the fiber. Fiber makes a very important difference in your life. If you are not putting fiber in your intestinal tract, you really are hurting yourself. It's really that
yeah.
critical. You're damaging yourself. And, yes, many users of the ones that you see are going to extract a lot of that fiber out of the equation, and you need it. And you're right, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you also in the fact that if you're going to do a cleansing and then you go back to your bad habits, well, you're not helping yourself.
Yes, sir. And
how do you balance your pH? A lot of people are struggling to balance pH these days. What is the best way to balance your pH on a daily basis?
Okay, I have a very simple answer. The better you eat, the better your pH balance is going to be. The more beef, for example, the more red meats and fats you eat, the worse off you're going to be. Now, we're not a test tube. We're not a test tube when you can put something alkaline and we're going to alkalinize. If we do, we're going to do it for a short period of time. So our pH is the end result of biochemical reactions that happen 24/7 in our bodies, and the way they should work is by giving the body the right elements to create that pH. So if we're eating the fiber, if we're eating the green leafy vegetables, I mean, just what Doctor was telling us about what he does for his users and so forth, with a good spring water, and you are careful with the amount of fats and meats that you eat, fantastic. I mean, if you're going to have, I always tell people, you want a steak, okay, go ahead, have a steak. But why don't you have like a 6 ounce steak? You don't need a 16 ounce. Nobody needs a 16 ounce steak, for goodness sake. And much less, we don't need red meat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We could have it for dinner and then be more careful about, we have a lighter lunch or a better type of breakfast, but we don't have to have sausage for breakfast, some big ham steak for lunch, and then a 16-ounce beef steak for dinner. That's what we shouldn't do, because that's going to make us acid regardless of what sort of balancing we try to do.
So you agree with those people that promote that alkaline diet, 80% alkaline diet and 20% acidic diet, 80-20?
Totally, yes. Yes.
Really? And I heard you mention spring water. So you, I've been using distilled water lately, but you think spring water is better for you?
I think spring water is best for you, and I always say spring water because I want to make it clear that I'm not advising distilled water. Why? Because there is something called osmotic charge. An osmotic charge in spring water is neutral, whereas if you have distilled water, it's going to rapidly go into the cells, but it's going to go into cells that are immediately neighboring that water. What you want water is to distribute it itself throughout the body, and spring water does a lot better, hydrates a lot better than distilled water.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, Alternative Medicine Secrets Used by the Elite. We're talking with Mr. Lindsay Williams and Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez, BioCare Hospital in Tijuana, Mexico. If you've got a medical condition that traditional medicine has not been able to cure, get on the phone lines tonight. Dr. Rodriguez is going to take your calls. If it's some of the conditions that we've mentioned already, or maybe you have a condition that we have not mentioned, at least give Dr. Rodriguez an opportunity to tell you what he thinks about how you should handle whatever your situation is, the alternative medicine way. So, again, get on the phone lines. If you have a condition that traditional medicine has not been able to help, call us up at 347-850-8390. And, Dr. Rodriguez, even after we go off the air, I think you made a statement the last time that they could contact you at your hospital. Are you still making
Absolutely.
That offer?
Absolutely.
And what number would they call you at?
People, they can dial 800-701-7345. 800-701-7345. Ask for me by name. You will not pay anything. You don't have to give me any personal information. But if you have a medical question, I'm going to be very happy to discuss it with you to hopefully inspire you and orient you to have a healthier lifestyle.
Let's talk about if they decide to come to your hospital. Y'all, it's so cool how they set it up. So, you know, crossing over into the border, I've never crossed over into Mexico yet, so I've never figured out, you know, what the problems will be, but I've understood that there can be problems with going from the States over into Mexico. And I understand if they come to your hospital, you make sure that they are met in the States and then taken over the border with your transportation system. Is that not correct, Dr. Rodriguez?
That's absolutely correct. And mainly, there are really not big problems in going across from one country to the other. But as any operation of this type, I like to meet patients at the airport. I like our staff to meet them, to help them with their luggage, to put them in a car, and to stop worrying about where I'm going or what directions I should be taking. We take them by the hand, bring them to the room, start with the treatment. The doctors will visit them in the room or in the doctor's offices in the same facility and do whatever we have to do, and so they don't have to worry about anything. And if there's anything they have to do outside of the hospital, we always take them by the hand, we escort them, we bring them back. And when it's time to fly back, we will take them back to San Diego Airport. We're only 17 miles from San Diego Airport, so and we're virtually 5 miles into Mexico, so you could literally walk back to the border without any trouble.
Now, do they have to have a passport to come into Tijuana?
Well, the idea is yes. Technically, yes, you should have a passport. But actually, if you have your birth certificate and your driver's license or a valid ID, they will let you in. But getting a passport is a good idea. I think it's going to become more and more common.
Okay, y'all, if y'all got issues, listen, there is no need to suffer any longer. Dr. Rodriguez said either you can call him tonight or you can call him tomorrow or you can go over to Tijuana and see him yourself. So they just catch a flight into Tijuana and you all take him from there over into, I mean, catch a flight to San Diego and then you all take him from there into Tijuana, correct?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 912-295. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Very well.
Pretty good. I wanted to ask the doctor, there are a lot of people who wear glasses, and there have been a lot of home remedies discussed or natural remedies discussed, but what is his recommendation, if any, for someone who wears glasses that wants to strengthen their eyes naturally so that they can get to the point where they discontinue the use and wearing of glasses?
Well, you probably know already about vitamin A and antioxidants. That would be my first ideas. But also, you probably have heard about exercising your eyes. How you exercise your eyes? You're going to exercise them by putting something, let's say, about 20 inches from your face, which could be a pencil, and then look at the pencil and try to read the whatever is written on the side of the pencil. So try to get attention and then look to the wall that's behind it and try to focus on the wall and then bring it back to the pencil. Those exercises will move your iris and keep it moving. And this is particularly important if you're approaching 40 years old. The younger you start, the better off you're going to be, because then you are going to keep the iris moving continuously, developing more strength, and that's all what it takes to improve your eyesight. And I hope it works for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, since you mentioned 40-year-old people, Dr. Rodriguez, is there any cure for all the 40-year-old women who may be suffering from hot flashes?
Well, you know, that is one of the things that we don't, without knowing, we are suffering with because of the fat and heavy protein intake. So I always recommend people under those circumstances to go to a more fiber-rich diet to reduce the amount of fats. The more you can, the better off you're going to be. And go to there are two things that work well. One is soy. Soy can work on one way. And the other one is chickpeas, garbanzo. Garbanzo is actually used in many countries, like India, for example, for hot flashes. So garbanzos, you can get them in a can, or you can cook them yourself and make something that's now very fashionable and delicious and everything, and could help you with that, which is hummus. So hummus is one good way to fight hot flashes.
Listen, I bet that helped a whole bunch of people tonight. Anyway, listen, include myself. Listen, thank you, Dr. Rodriguez, for that. So why do you think people are afraid of alternative medicine? I mean, why do you think that people would rather be hooked on a pharmaceutical drug, you know, for 20 years rather than try something new? Why are people so afraid?
Well, my idea is that we are a generation, just everybody, that grew up with big advantages, big medical advantages in the first half of the 20th century with the advent of antibiotics and defeating diseases that were literally killing millions of people, and then we were able to conquer all these infectious diseases. And then we thought, well, we're going to be able to get a doctor and a prescription that's going to defeat anything that comes around us. And we started believing that doctor knows best and that drugs cure. But as time has gone and as years have gone by, we have seen that, unfortunately, that's not true. That, number one. Number two, we created a whole new group of diseases, which is the chronic degenerative diseases, which are the ones that are killing us today, for which we were not ready, and because they don't come from anything like an infection. They are produced by our own body because of the lifestyles and what we do with our own bodies. Then we were not prepared to face that fact. And so we continue to see the doctor, and only some people started wondering, what else can I do for my loved one or for myself, because this isn't working. You were listening, for example, at the case of Sarah that Pastor Williams was mentioning. If you have gone to the doctor for the same disease for 6 years and you don't get better, well, you start looking for alternatives. And, you know, the problem with chronic degenerative diseases is that, and anybody that listens will say, yeah, this is true. The most devastating thing about these things is you're going to go to the doctor with high blood pressure, with diabetes, with heart disease, with vascular disease, with cancer, with all this group of diseases, and the doctor is going to give you a prescription. But that prescription is for the rest of your life, which means you're not going to be cured. You see, and we use now this very nice euphemism that you're going to have the disease under control. Well, no, that's not what we want. What we want is we want to get cured. We want to get over with the disease and move on into our, with our lives, not just to get something that I will have to take for the rest of my life. And that happens with all these diseases that I have mentioned, which are by far the vast majority of the cases. Suffice to tell you that it's considered that about 75% of people in America, 65 or more, take a regular prescription medicine every single day of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Rodriguez, as far as pharmaceuticals are concerned, do you completely, with the alternative medicine treatments that you provide, are they totally absent of pharmaceutical drugs, or do you still recommend some pharmaceuticals?
Of course, I recommend some pharmaceuticals. There are many achievements. There are many great things that we have been able to accomplish. Our problem is we have been naive enough to believe that it's the pharmaceutical that's going to cure us. Instead of that's a lot more. Let me give you a very simple example. This is very simple but very true. Let's say you come with a sore throat today, and the sore throat starts getting better, and you have a little bit of cough, and you can feel the things getting worse. You go to your doctor tomorrow because you now have a little bit of phlegm. The doctor takes a look at you, and he says, yeah, it's all red, it's infected, I'm going to give you an antibiotic. Okay, you take the antibiotic, and you take it as the doctor told you, and sure enough, 2-3 days later, everything is clear, you feel great. Who cured you, or what cured you? Was it the antibiotic? Not necessarily, because the antibiotic is going to help you to reduce the potency of the infectious agent so your immune system can take over and can destroy the microbe. If you didn't have a good immunity, none of this would happen. How can I say that so sure? Because if you had AIDS, in which you will not have an immune system, a good performing immune system, I can give you all the antibiotics I can, you're going to still die because of the infection. Because the infection is going to progress and progress and progress until it kills you, and no antibiotic is going to solve the problem because you didn't have any immunity. So when you get good results from a pharmaceutical drug, you can be absolutely sure that there were a lot of good things happening in your body to help you restore your health other than just the pharmaceutical product. So, yes, I use them, but I don't rely everything I do on them.
Gotcha. So you know, when we see people suffering from HIV and AIDS, and most of the time I understand people don't die from AIDS. They die from complications associated with AIDS. But is there a cure, or is it treatable?
You mean AIDS?
With something other than the cocktails and all of that they give them? Is there other methods
Not at this point. Not at this point, unfortunately.
Really?
You can do a lot of things. You can control the virus, et cetera. People live close to normal lives today, with even with AIDS. But the ideal would be, like when you get a sore throat, that you're going to take an antibiotic for 3-4 days and then move on. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen with AIDS. Again, it's one of those conditions where once you begin your treatment, you're going to have to stay on it for years and years and years on end, and we don't see when you can stop in this 2014. So we don't know when to stop, because we can't stop it.
Now, recently in the medical field, they changed a lot of tests that I think you used to could go in and tell your doctor, I need a mammogram or I need to have a colonoscopy, and your primary physician would say, okay, I'm going to get you scheduled for one. But now it appears that, you know, everything is, well, you know, if you had a mammogram this year, you don't need another one for 5 years, or if you had a colonoscopy this year, you don't need another one for another 3 years. How much do you have to rely on instinct as opposed to these dates that, you know, the new that our insurance companies have come up with now? Should we go by gut instincts when we realize or feel that something is wrong, rather than saying, well, they said that I don't need a mammogram for another 5 years, so I'm not going to worry about it? What should you do?
By all means, that's a very easy question to answer. I would go by instinct. I trust instinct a lot more than what I can trust an insurance company. That's for sure.
So for those people who don't know any better and would follow that guide based on what the insurance company is telling them, if your gut tells you that something else is wrong, should you go at your own cost and go ahead and have that exam? Or I don't know, you'd have to, I think, because if your insurance company is not going to pay for it, you're going to have to pay for it yourself. But if your gut tells you something wrong, you should definitely follow that, huh?
You know, we have a, besides growing very used to do whatever the doctor says, we have mm-hmm. grown with the idea that you never challenged your doctor. And
yes.
I would that would be one of my first advices. I mean, you're not challenging your doctor. You're making a team with your doctor, and your doctor has to understand that you are a very important part of your health care, okay? If the patient is not involved in their own health care, who is going to be? Not the doctor, okay? The doctor is just being a part of it. So I think that in most cases, if someone has the instinct of something wrong, I would go to my doctor and say, "Doctor, I'm sorry, but I have to have it because I'm not sure about this. I don't feel good not doing it at this point. And if you don't want to do it, fine, just give it to me in writing, and I hold you responsible." And he's going to do it.
That's
okay?
That's how you do it.
You know, we have to fight for our rights. I mean, and if you consider that something might be wrong, you have the right to know, and you're paying for that insurance. It's your money, and all you have to do is go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I'm sorry, but I think I have to do this." You see, and
you know, this year, any year,
find a way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he has to find a way to do it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Follow your gut. This year, more than any year, they pushed the flu shot. I mean, they absolutely, I think the local news here pushed it every day for 2 weeks straight. I mean, they absolutely showed you where, you know, they had plenty of vaccine and nobody was taking it. And then all of a sudden, after 2 weeks of pushing it, you know, they couldn't keep enough in stock. What do you think of the flu shot? Do you think people should get it, or do you not recommend it?
Okay, you got me there, because I have two things. One, my personal gut feeling is, and I'm going to answer you with this very short, I didn't take it. I don't take it.
You didn't take it, really?
No, I didn't take it, and I'm a doctor. I'm a health practitioner. I didn't take it because I'm not convinced that that's the best way to do it. Now, in good conscience, I cannot tell people don't do it because I don't want to tell them something that I'm not absolutely sure of. But the problems I have with flu shots is that the type of viruses and the type of infections that we get every year change year to year. So it's not going to give me the guarantee that I'm going to be free of flu, number one. Number two, I think I have methods that are going to assure me much better the quality of my health. And one of them, and this is also you have, if you watch the news, not this time, but the last time with the H1N1 influenza was all over, wash your hands. Wash your hands as many times as you can. If you're at home, fine, but if you go out, just wash your hands before you do anything. You go to the market, go to the restroom, wash your hands when you arrive, wash your hands when you leave, and for goodness sake, don't touch your face if you haven't recently washed your hands, because the viruses transmit much more through our hands when they come in contact with any of our body mucosas. Where do we have readily available body mucosas? That's your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. And we touch them instinctively all the time. We rub our eyes or our noses or lick a finger or whatever, and that's the problem. So we have to make sure that we wash our hands as many times as we can when we go out. Take vitamin C. Take some of the of these blended juices. Make sure you take enough fiber. Make sure you have plenty of lemonade and all these things. This is going to make a big difference and will guarantee that you're going to be healthy. Now, if on top of that you want to do the flu shot, go right ahead. Some people have some discomfort with it, and some people actually develop flu-like symptoms. But if you want to do it, do it. I didn't do it. I don't do it. And I'm not absolutely convinced.
Wow. You know, Dr. Rodriguez, when did I always pronounce it wrong, Alzheimer's? When did it come on the scene, and why do we see it so often today?
Well, you know, I have the feeling that there's one of these days we're going to discover a connection between something we do every day and Alzheimer's. Because this is, as I was telling about asthma, I mean, 50 years ago, any person that's 50 years old or older can ask themselves, how many children in my block, how many children in my classroom, how many children in my family were asthmatic? And they're going to have trouble locating one. But if you check about your nephews and nieces and the children you know now in the block, etc., you might not have any problem locating one or two or three, which means a very unusual problem is becoming very usual. And it's not because of allergies and the thing that they tell you about dogs and cats and dirt. My goodness, I mean, just imagine people migrating from the East Coast to the West Coast across the prairie and across the Mississippi River. I mean, I don't think they had a really clean, in the sense we mentioned clean life today. They were on grass, on dirt, on mud, with horses, with dogs, with cattle, and they didn't have this problem. So it happened because something that is happening to our day's lifestyle. And I have the feeling that the same is going to happen with Alzheimer's, because Alzheimer's was really an unknown disease. Only 50 years ago, it was kind of an unknown disease. And now, it's you see it more and more and more prevalent, because something in our lifestyle is producing this disease, and we will have to look for it. There are being blamed on aluminum and other toxics, which could not be strange, because aluminum for cooking probably has no more than 100 years. So it could be one of the clues or other things of that nature. I wish I knew why it is caused, because then I would have a key to prevention, but unfortunately I don't have it.
Is it curable?
No. It's one or another of those chronic degenerative diseases you get, and that's it.
Two other disorders that have popped up that I don't recall seeing in my childhood was autism and ADHD. I don't recall those. You know, there were kids that misbehaved, but they were never to the point that they needed to be medicated.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, for example, these disorder, all these behavioral disorders have been now connected to poor minerals and to heavy metals. In other words, again, minerals. Minerals are number one deficiency in America because they should be in vegetables. We don't eat vegetables. You rarely see anything green on your plate. And if you see anything green, it's for decoration. And it's going to be sent back to the kitchen because you're not going to eat it. You're going to have your big steak, but you're not going to take the two, three leaves of whatever they put on the side. It's just for the plate to look nicer. So we're not eating any vegetables. We're not eating any fiber and so forth. So we're having all these health problems that we're triggering because of our lifestyle.
And you know, a lot of people talk about the gluten-free diet. Or do you agree with that diet?
No, and goes back again to the fiber. When we eat our good flora in the bowel, eat and use the fiber, and that fiber. They produce a substance called butyric acid or butyrate. And these substances allow the intestinal cilia to grow. The intestinal surface, the inner intestinal surface, is like velour. It has all these tiny little fingers through which the food passes in contact, and they choose what nutrients to get in and what to keep off. Now, these cilia, as they called, should be of certain size and of certain density because that prevents the actual food content of the bowel to get in touch with the intestinal cells, and much less with the blood vessels that go around it. So this is a barrier. This is actually a physical barrier and a chemical barrier, because it also works biochemically, that keeps the food content passing through the bowel but not rubbing into the intestinal wall. When we reduce the amount of fiber that we eat, and we damage the intestinal flora that we have, these cilia become flattened. They become shorter and shorter, and they create a flat surface. So now the intestinal content that's going through the bowel is going to rub into the intestinal cell, and a lot of things that you don't want inside your body are going to enter the bloodstream and are going to give you all sorts of symptoms. You're going to absorb proteins. You're going to absorb peptides. You're going to be absorbing molecules that shouldn't be in your blood. And then you're going to have pains, aches, discomfort, and all these sort of problems. And what these people need is a very good cleanse, a very good diet, a steady, a very continuous supply of fiber, very continuous supply of acidophilus, very good medical nutritional surveillance, so they can build that intestinal wall back. And it's not going to take 1 week. It's not going to take 2 weeks. This is something they're going to have to do over a period of time if they want to regain their intestinal health and be able to have a normal life again.
You know, one thing I see a lot of with women with their desire or our desire to be thinner and thinner is bulimia and anorexia. What are you doing to the body when you're binging and purging and starving it the way that they're doing? What all are you doing? What kind of damage are you doing to your body?
Well, it's very simple. The less food or the less nutrition you provide to your body, the less apt your body is going to be to defend itself, to function well, to produce hormones, to create life, in one word. So these people start going down and down and down. Energy almost completely disappears. And one ironic thing is when you go beyond certain level of malnutrition, is hunger disappears. So you're not you should be hungrier because you don't have any energy. You don't have any supplies. Yet, because you don't have any energy, hunger disappears. So for these people, once they get to a certain point, not eating is actually preferable than eating. It's not a sacrifice anymore. The problem is when they try to eat. So they just keep on this situation, which of course, if you don't solve it, they're going to result in death of the individual, which happens very frequently. I mean, if you're not in a hospital environment, you don't see how often this is as a problem. And many times it doesn't look as serious, but people die, and die of it very frequently, and we see it all the time. And it's really very bad because it's young people that should be living great lives, that can hardly move, that do not have any muscle, that have no energy, that easy prey for infections and all sorts of diseases. And there's the worst part is there is so little will to change all that it's literally like treating a sack. If you want to do anything, if you want to put a needle, if you want to do anything, you might be able to get away with it, but they don't have any will. They don't help you with anything. It's really devastating, and particularly for the parents.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, you have those that exercise to the extreme. What is the proper amount of exercise to stay healthy and keep your immune system healthy and all that? What's the proper amount of exercise?
Well, again, God knew what we should be doing. So to me, one of the best ways to exercise is, number one, keep active. Don't park in front of the front door. Park a little bit far away. Walk. Do leisure walk. Don't use the stairs. Don't walk. Run every time you can. If you're going to bring something, just give a couple of steps running and just keep yourself active. And something that I tell people all the time is look at younger people. Younger people will run to get something. And you tell them, could you bring me this? And they do it. Well, do it yourself. Stop sending people for errands. Do them yourself so you keep active. That's the most important part. The more active we keep, the more steps we do. If you're 2-3 floors, don't use the elevator. Go on the stairway. Even if you go slowly, that's going to keep the muscle tone where it should be, and it's going to make you feel much better and much more active. Every time you move, you're helping insulin. You're helping hormones. You're helping your heart. You're helping every part of your body. So if you're going upstairs, do it as fast as you can. I'm not telling you to push yourself. Don't push yourself. Do it at a comfortable level, and that means different thing for every person. But do it. So the bottom line is keep active. The more you can, the better off you're going to be. A broom is an excellent exercise. So if you do a little bit of house cleaning or things like that, if you mow your lawn instead of having somebody doing it for you, that's going to be a good exercise. If you take a broom and clean the house and do anything like that, that's a very big exercise. You're going to feel it in the back, in the shoulders, everywhere. So the more active you keep, the better off you're going to be. And there's activity all around us, but we always send somebody else to do it, or reuse a piece of equipment or machinery to do it. Don't do it. If you're in a hurry, fine. But if not, try to use your body a little bit more. And then choose a good exercise. Then we go to the other part. To me, one of the best ones is brisk walking. Just go out and walk. Now, you probably have noticed that when we start walking, we go very, if you do it on a treadmill or if you do it in your lawn or somewhere, you're going to notice that the first few minutes you're fine, and probably about 20 minutes, it really takes about that time, you start feeling hot. Then is when you start probably beginning to sweat. From the minute you started walking to the minute you start feeling this heat wave and this little sweat, not much will happen. But when you start feeling heat and sweat is the time when your body starts burning fat. So if you walk less than 20 minutes, you might not be getting too much out of it. But if you go beyond those 20 minutes, so beyond the point where you feel this little heat and so forth, and you do 10 more minutes, it's going to be good. If you do 15 more minutes, it's going to be great. If you make half an hour, that's going to be fantastic. So normally you should be walking between 45 to 1 hour every day. But again, make sure you keep active during your day. If you're in the office, go downstairs and upstairs and go and buy something for lunch. Don't order it. We many times order things and they bring it to our desk. No, go out and get it and come back, etc. It's going to be good for you. Just keep active because like any piece, any machine, we need our movement. That's going to keep our joints in good shape. That's going to keep the tone of our muscles in good shape. That's going to keep osteoporosis away because we're putting weight and pressure on the bodies of our body. That's why we're seeing so many of these problems, because we hardly do anything anymore. We do everything in the car, and then we ask people to help us with this, people to help us with that, and use all sorts of devices to do the thing. We put things in the dishwasher. We put things in the washing machine. Washing clothes, for example, as they used to do it, is a fantastic exercise. But who does it? Nobody does it anymore. So keep active. Every time you can, do it yourself, be active, and you're going to love it. But if you're going to exercise more than 1 hour, unless you're really an athlete and you're planning to do a marathon or anything like that, you don't really need it. Now, if you're going to do it, make sure you supplement good minerals. Because when we sweat, we lose a lot of minerals. A lot of our youngsters that are going to university, they're in college, and they're doing a lot of sports, let's make sure they have a good supply of minerals and supplement minerals and prepare some of these juices that the doctor was telling us about with the green leafy vegetables. So we make sure they're in good shape and they can tolerate the loss of minerals by sweat and by all the exercise they do.
Carrie, I'm sure you've noticed from the brilliance that you've heard tonight from Dr. Rodriguez how exciting it's been for me to be around this gentleman for 3 weeks and have an opportunity to see all the things that's done here in Tijuana, Mexico at BioCare Hospital. It's amazing, and I would encourage everyone out there in your audience, and I'd like Dr. Rodriguez to give it again in just a moment if you will. I would encourage everyone out there in your audience. There are numerous doctors on staff here at the BioCare Hospital, but Dr. Rodriguez is literally willing to talk with you. And if you wish to give him a call and also email, Dr. Rodriguez, we need to give out your email address for the hospital here so that people can contact you. And Carrie, it is getting a little late here where we are. But I would urge people, if you want alternative health care, may I say personally, from experience, this is the finest place on the face of the earth that I know of. It's the only place that I personally would come whenever I have a physical problem. And the man that I think I probably trust and have as much confidence in as any man on the face of the earth in the medical field is Dr. Rodriguez. So, Dr. Rodriguez, let people know how you can get in touch with you again, if you will, please.
Sure. The 800 number is 800-701-7345. And the email.
Your email?
I love emails because you can do them at 2 o'clock in the morning and have a great conversation. Is doctor, you spell the word, D-O-C-T-O-R, doctor@biocarehospital.com. Bio, B as in boy, I-O, care, C-A-R-E, hospital.com. And that gets directly to me, and I will personally answer your emails, and let's just keep healthy.
And Mr. Williams, don't you have a new DVD out called Healing the Elite Way?
Yes, that DVD came out about 8 to 9 months ago, but I'll fill you in on something that's never even been let out yet. I am so impressed with what I have seen here at BioCare Hospital and the fact that they've done such wonders for my wife, Joanna. They've helped me greatly. And this has been our fourth trip here, my fourth trip, my wife's third trip. I am so impressed with the hospital, full-fledged hospital, as nice as any you'd find in America, a outpatient center, all of the different maladies that they're able to take care of. I am so impressed that I have dedicated myself to go back home and produce a DVD in which I will highlight the hospital, we'll talk about alternative therapy, and you'll see a lot from me in relation to BioCare Hospital in coming days. So before long, you'll see a new DVD coming out.
Wow. Well, thank you both for being with us tonight. Thank you so, Dr. Rodriguez. We'll be in touch. And thank you, Mr. Williams, for being with us tonight.
Terry, it's been a privilege, and Lord bless.
Lord bless you as well. Okay, y'all, that was Dr. Rodriguez with BioCare Hospital in Tijuana, Mexico, and Mr.
Wow.
Lindsay Williams. And they are no strangers to Center Stage, and I have learned so much tonight. It is just incredible. AJ, Christopher, did y'all learn a lot, too?
I'm still learning. I'm still listening. I'm trying to catch up.
He's trying to catch up. Well, you know what? We take for granted that, you know, some things seem like, you know, well, wow, that's simple. But we're not doing it or we wouldn't be as sick as we are. Don't y'all agree with that?
Yes, I do. And you know what, Carrie, to answer, maybe shed a little bit more light on what some of the conversation from before. I know you had mentioned about if Dr. Rodriguez also prescribes and he practices in the regular traditional medical model with prescriptions, you know, diagnostic and so forth. What I wanted to clarify is that a lot of people in America don't know that there's two different types of medical doctors, providers. One is what's called an allopathic medical doctor. That's the doctor that is trained in the traditional medical model in most medical schools. But the osteopathic medical doctor is also equally trained in that same pathway, but they also have a flavor of alternative or multidiscipline care. In other words, as they're going through school, part of their training includes chiropractic, spinal manipulation, herbal, yoga, massage, reflexology, all those things. So it's a little bit more spent. So when people see an MD versus a DO, a doctor of osteopathic versus a medical doctor, they're both medical doctors, but the osteopath has had a little bit more of the alternative pathway treatment as well as the traditional.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for us. I did not know that. I don't know. I just thought, like, everybody is trained the same way, and then one just takes a different path. But you're saying there's actually special training for the alternative as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to change my lifestyle. You know what? And be honest with you, a lot of these things that he mentioned, I do already, but I think I'm going to kick it up a notch in 2014 because I think with all that we're seeing out here today, we got to do a lot to keep our immune system strong. Y'all agree with that?
Well, I think what we have to do is we really have to do a mixture. And, you know, like you said, you know, you don't need red meat every meal, and we actually need vegetables and we need fruit. So that's it. For the last, probably the last eight months or so, I've been in the morning, I eat fruit and water. I do have a thing called Emerald Green that I take in the morning and a little package of the vitamin C. I mix with water and I drink that, but I eat fruit and not trying to eat a lot of a full meal. You know, you don't need that McDonald's curly fries with the little breakfast sandwich. You don't need that.
That's right. And AJ, I want to ask you real quick, AJ. The primary care physician or provider that you see, have they ever made any alternative recommendations or referrals for your back pain?
No, and I believe the reason being is, see, my back pain stems from 5 back surgeries.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like my back is just hurting and they say, okay, do this, you know, couple of sit-ups. Because, see, first, doctor, I tried an alternative first. But what happened, I had an on-the-job injury that, and the L4, L5, the little vertebrae in the middle.
Yes.
What is it? It actually crushed the vertebrae where there was nothing. It was bone on bone with a little nerve tension there.
Oh, I see. Your thoracic vertebrae. So, okay.
Yeah, so what happened is I went to, you know, first doctor I saw, he said, well, there's nothing, you got a back strain, because he was a job doctor.
Okay.
You know, and I about 6 to 7 months I was, you know, doing my exercises, because I've always been athletic, played football, basketball, ran track in high school, and, you know, played basketball when I was on the job. We had a basketball league. But it was getting tremendously worse. So I said, well, just refer me to somebody else. I went to another doctor, and he was kind of with the job, so he kind of said the same thing, do this and this, and, you know, took me off work for about a week or so, and he said, okay, back to work. But nothing was better. So the next doctor I went and saw, he said, man, you have a pinched nerve, and it's bone on bone, so that's what the rubbing is. He said, so this is like a Tuesday. He said, well, we'll do surgery Friday. And my leg was going out. I would take a step, and my right leg wouldn't step.
Okay.
It had that hesitation in it, so it looked like I tripped over the flat concrete or something. So after that, I went and had the surgery, and after that, man, I think he made a mistake or left something in there or something, because it was pretty bad. Once he did the MRI, he was willing to go back in there and fix it. I just wanted it fixed. But nevertheless, I've had 5 back surgeries, so it's not. Now I have a plate, titanium screws, and all that other stuff in there, too.
Any physical therapy or follow-up that was beneficial at all?
I went to back school, all kind of physical therapy. But, see, the problem is after so much work and you already had nerve damage and they can't repair, they can remove the nerve from where it was damaged, but they can't repair the nerve damage. So there's still pain from that. And then, like, my right leg, you know, my right leg was so bad that, you know, when I told him it was bad, you know, a little spike, little roller that they roll on your feet?
Yes.
So he was rolling the spike thing on my feet. He said, you feel that? I said, yeah. He's rolling up and down my leg. I said, yeah. And he moved over to my left leg, and that thing is sharp. but on my right leg, it felt like that was just a little round thing. It didn't feel like it had the spikes in it. Because I could tell he was rolling up and down. He said, can you feel it? I'm like, yeah, you know. I wasn't looking at it. I said, yeah. And he rubbing up my ankle and foot, all of my foot. I'm like, yeah, I feel it. And when he put it on the other side, I'm like, hey, man, what you doing? But
I'm gonna have
I had no clue it was that bad.
Right. I'm going to have to come visit you or maybe recommend to take you to a good acupuncture
doctor. Good.
Because that might help. That might help a little bit with the discomfort and maybe a little bit increasing the range of motion, but definitely maybe decreasing some of the discomfort that you're having.
Well, I'm definitely willing to give it a try. I thought about putting it up on YouTube and doing it myself.
No, don't do that. Because a surgeon doesn't operate.
What did you say, Karen?
Let me make some recommendations before you do that.
Yeah, we're going to get you some help for it. Listen, he has been complaining for a long time, Christopher, so hopefully between you and the BioCare Hospital, we're going to get AJ well.
Yeah.
but you know they got the videos on YouTube, man. What's wrong with them?
No.
What videos are you referring to? I don't know about any videos on YouTube.
Acupuncture videos. I'm saying they show you how to fix a car, change the transmission, and do acupuncture.
I don't even know where you buy the needles. Where are you going to get these needles from?
Walmart got everything.
See, now you didn't go silly. Let me stop. You didn't go quit. Okay. AJ, you have snapped and popped. Okay, no. I don't think that's the way you ought to do it. Let Christopher come down and see if he can help you.
Okay.
We all want to.
I told him I was game, you know. I'm definitely game. I'll go for that.
We all want to fly to San Diego and cross over to the board and go see Dr. Rodriguez over there and see the hospital.
Well, I'm already thinking about referring some people, and specifically my wife. I think that would be beneficial.
Really? Well, when she goes, will you let the rest of us know how it turned out?
I
really listen.
I sure will.
I think he's the real thing. I really do. I like Dr. Rodriguez's temperament. I mean, he just seems like that he has a wealth of knowledge in the medicine field, and I really do believe in what he says. I really do.
I like this whole overall conversation, because even the questions that he didn't really agree with, he didn't say the other people were kooks or creeks or whatever. You know, he just said, you know, I don't do it, and I can't prove that it's wrong or right. But mm-hmm. I'm not willing to take that chance, basically what he's telling us. You know, I'm not telling you not to do it, but I wouldn't. You know, that I don't do it. So I thought that was a good way to approach it, because it still gives you a choice, still gives you the option, but it lets you know that if you believe any other of the other things he said, that flu shot might not be apropos or a good thing for you to, you know, be chewing on right now.
That's, you know, go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Kara. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to simply say is that a lot of the information that he was putting out, I mean, he's spot on. Yes. You know, I dealt with my aunt who had Alzheimer's. She had Alzheimer's dementia type. I have two sons that are asthmatic. I have a son who has autism. So I know dietary is a big part of that. My kids, we no longer juice. We blend. And my kids are now, instead of the candy bars, instead of the high fructose and the sugar and a lot of stuff, we just went through and cleared all of that out. And we buy as little processed food as we have to, but we buy more fresh. That's probably the biggest part of our staple, lean meats, but fresh fruits, vegetables, specifically green leafy, because they're very alkaline-based, really good for you. And all those, and then, too, I'll say this. When people are taking medications, unfortunately, particularly in the black community, a lot of black people want the smoking gun, or they want the magic bullet, the magic pill. People are not necessarily educated on what can I do so that maybe I don't have to be on this medication for the rest of my life, or I'd never have to get on it in the first place. And that is through diet. It is through exercise. It is through getting rest. But a lot of people, their diets are very poor. And then, too, a lot of stress. And people don't do the things because, you know, when you wake up and go to work or go out the next day, if you didn't get rid of the stress that you had from the day before, now that's just compounded. So I think a lot of the things that Dr. Rodriguez was saying, I think he probably has a lot of his patients doing it. They're feeling better. They're not having to take as much traditional medication. And I think if people are educated on these things and then you can show them how to do it, then I think a lot of the disease process that we have in the community, in our communities, will decrease, if not be eradicated.
But I think if we start with the beginning of what he said, when the patients are coming to the hospital, they fly into San Diego, and he immediately relieves the stress that they have by going to pick them up. They don't have to worry about transportation, where they're going across the border. So, because, you know, I told you a while back that 85% of the reason some people aren't getting better is stress.
I agree. So let me ask you, Christopher, what supplements are you taking every day? He talked about supplements, and I didn't know they weren't going to stay with me the whole 2 hours. And y'all, I really would have hit him hard.
And I was trying to jump in, but he was talking, so I let him talk. Supplements.
That would have been a whole different interview if I only knew I had an hour and a half as opposed to 2 hours. So, I mean, because he's just a wealth of knowledge. That's just what it is.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's a good man. And so what supplements do you – that was one of the questions I was going to ask Dr. Rodriguez, what supplements does he take and what quantities? So what supplements do you take, Christopher, every day?
I don't take any supplements. I mean, I run 50, 60 miles a week. I bike 30, 40 miles a week. The thing is that when I changed my diet and I started implementing more fruits and vegetables, eating the lean meats, eating the fresh fruits and vegetables as well. I actually stopped taking like the calcium, vitamin C. I really didn't need those supplements anymore. And it's a myth. What people do with supplements and multivitamins is that multivitamins, first of all, are their vitamins, those vitamins are what's called fat soluble. In other words, if you're a vegan or vegetarian, multivitamins won't do you any good because they need fat in order to dissolve so your body can readily use them. A lot of people is equally taking medication as well as with supplements. They forget it's called supplement. People are taking supplements but yet eating McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Burger King and all those foods, not realizing that the supplement is supposed to supplement. It's not supposed to replace what you're supposed to be eating. So, I mean, I don't take any supplements because I really don't need to because I've changed my diet.
But one thing, Terry, instead of supplements, see, Emerald Green was probably the first major one on the market. It's called Emerald Green, like emerald, the yellow brick road kind of emerald.
Mm-hmm.
And Emerald Green is a whole food. It's a superfood, and it gives you, like, your full daily requirement of greens. I'm not saying don't eat your greens, but if you start off in the morning, I think if you take it for a week, you would tell the difference in how you feel when you've rested for 30 minutes or 4 hours. You would have so much energy and you feel vital, and it's called Emerald Green. So I take the Emerald Green, and I still take vitamin C because it's cold. I'm not taking the flu shot.
Right.
But
and
I do Emerald Green and vitamin C, but I eat grapefruits and oranges. Usually every morning I eat grapefruit and orange. That's usually breakfast.
See, you said the key. The Evergreen, and there's other products, but the Evergreen, you're right. That is a very good synergized, not a supplement, but like Wonder Food. And the thing about
it, it's called a superfood, yeah.
It can be utilized as soon as you take it, unlike a supplement that has to have to be reacted on by fat to be broken down. And that's why when they do autopsies on people, what do people usually have in their colon and their stomach? Vitamins that are undigested because of the lack of fat. So, but what AJ's talking about, that is an excellent product. You can add it to a smoothie. You can take it with you, so you can take it by itself. That is a really, really good product.
I did not know that. And so, you know, we talked to him about what kind of water to take. And if you missed that portion of the show, Dr. Rodriguez said he recommends spring water, which I've been using distilled water. So I think what I'm going to do now is just do distilled water in the morning with my lemon, and then the rest of the day I'm going to do spring water. But, Christopher, what amount of water should we be drinking? Some people say
Carrie, I'm still going to say you probably should not even drink the distilled water, period. And here's why. Distilled water, Dr. Rodriguez, he spoke on it and he was alluding to it. Your body has radicals and free radicals. Distilled water disrupts those. So even, okay, if you're drinking in a small quantity, it's not really going to hurt you that bad. But a lot of people don't know that if you drink too much distilled water, your water is not supposed to overtake the cell. And distilled water shakes the balance or creates an imbalance in the cells. And the cells basically, they take in a lot of that more water than they really should. And that's kind of what distilled water does. So that's why he alluded to the spring water and so forth. And even tap water is not as good as the spring water. But if you have to drink something between distilled and tap, I'd say drink the tap water versus the distilled. But answering your question, it is recommended that an individual drinks somewhere between 3 to 5 8-ounce glasses of water. The key to that is it's going to be different for everybody. So in general, most people should be drinking at least 3 8-ounce glasses of water, and that's not including tea and coffee and anything else. That's just water itself. But if people, even if they drink a half a glass of water before dinner, water is a natural appetite suppressant. So that's the one good thing about it. So I would just say 2 to 3. If you can tolerate more, drink more. But then some people drink too much, and then that can also cause an imbalance of your electrolytes in your body and so forth. So I would just say about 3 8 ounces would probably be about fine.
Wow. Listen, there's always so much to learn. I'm just amazed because I thought distilled water was what I was supposed to be doing. That just shows you got some misinformation from somewhere, and I just
picked it up and ran with it, didn't do my own research, and now I'm going to be reversing that and doing some other things. So, y'all, to recap what we learned tonight in a very short 5 minutes, anybody want to recap for anybody who missed Dr. Rodriguez? And he was here, y'all. If you missed it, you missed an awesome speaker tonight.
Well,
y'all want to recap?
Yes, Dr. Rodriguez, he was – go ahead, AJ, did you?
No, I was going to say that he actually spoke – the main thing he was saying is as far as cleansing, he started off talking about the importance of cleansing and keeping your body clean of all the different little purified bacteria that we have that's in the processed foods. And I think that was the first thing as far as cleansing and the water. And I think if you start there, you will feel your body changes anyway. He's talking about, you know.
Didn't y'all talk about the fruit every morning?
Yeah, well, he said, if you, like on a Saturday when you don't have anything to do, you fix your big thing of fruit and eat fruit all day and chill and let that kind of cleanse your body too.
Wasn't it some green tea or something? Was it fruit and tea? Herbal tea?
Yes, he said fruit and tea, and then, you know, you can throw some raw vegetables or however you want to do that equally too, but you're right. And then he was also talking about dietary and nutrition. So a lot of times, let me not even go into that. Dietary and nutrition. And then the other thing too is that he talked about your lifestyle in terms of smoking, alcohol, if you're going to drink in moderation. And then the other thing about tobacco products, everything from cigars to blunts to chewing tobacco to snuff, those things have so many commercialized chemicals, and they have over 4,000 chemicals in them, 69 of which are known to cause cancer. So it's not a smart thing, but there are ways. People can go see the doctor for smoking cessation. There's the gum. There's the patch. There's a lot of ways that people – a lot of us have the disdain for tobacco products. But he talked about those things and realizing that also it's not a bad idea to challenge your doctor. If you feel you need something because you know your body and maybe they're saying, oh, you don't need a mammogram, or, oh, you don't need this x-ray, you can challenge your doctor and become more educated and read up on it so that you're not just sitting there not having any questions for your doctor and then being prescribed 10 medications that the doctor's telling you're going to be on the rest of your life.
Now, just to piggyback off something, two things Christopher said. First thing, as far as the drinking in moderation, I think he said alcohol. As far as alcohol is concerned, he felt that wine and beer were the best for you as opposed to the hard liquors like vodka.
Yes, he did. And what people have to also understand, you can get beer and wine that has very little processing. In other words, once they process it, it's all the stuff that they add in that becomes more of the detriment, not the alcoholic product itself. So I think he had said the non-fermented. So I'm not sure if that's the term that he used.
No, I think he said fermented.
Okay, fermented. But yeah, that's because in the old school, what folks used to do when they made their own beer and their wine, they would make it, they would allow it to ferment, but all the other stuff that they now add into it was not in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary problem you have. But so, yeah, you can do the fermented, but in moderation. Smoking, not at all. If you do smoke, you need to definitely consider quitting. I won't even back up off that. I don't with my patients. I try and do it in love, but that's one of the things that keeps them coming back, is that even after all this good information and education is put out, a lot of people are just unwilling to do it.
I agree. And I think hold on.
See, I'm a smoker. It's not an unwilling case.
Here we go.
No, I'm serious. It's not being unwilling. I'm saying it's some addictive stuff in those cigarettes. I'm just trying to tell you.
We going to pray for
you.
And the last thing, we got to get out of here, y'all. The last thing I'm going to piggyback on what Christopher said, remember the doctor said this. He said that if you do have a gut feeling that something is wrong, that you have the right to challenge your doctor, like Christopher said. But he also said challenge your doctor in this way. Say, listen, doctor, I feel that something's wrong, and if you disagree that in writing. And he said if you challenge your doctor in that way, 99% of the time, he's going to go ahead and give you whatever that is, that mammogram or that colonoscopy that you're asking for. Okay, y'all, that's going to have to be the final word. But listen, I have enjoyed tonight's show. Did y'all enjoy tonight's show, Christopher and AJ?
It was outstanding.
Yeah, dear.
What a show, y'all. Listen, if you missed it, if you missed any part of it, I suggest you go back and listen to the whole thing again. But we got to get out of here. So we want to say thank you to Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez of BioCare Hospital in Tijuana, Mexico. Listen, Google him, you know, get your research, but he is one awesome doctor. And thank you to Mr. Lindsay Williams for being with us tonight. What an awesome show. So listen, guys, we got to get out of here, but we want to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We're here each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell your church members to come and check out the show. This is what we do each and every week. Also, y'all, reminder, if y'all like to see us do a certain type of show, give us a call. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give out a number. I'm so sorry. Listen, send us an email. Send us Sage Radio. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. That's CenterStageRadio@yahoo.com. CenterStageRadio@yahoo.com. If you all would like to see us do a certain show idea, we'll definitely consider it. Okay, y'all, we're gone. So until next week, we thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next week talking about Black History Month. So until then, bye-bye.